Good morning, brothers and sisters. We extend a warm welcome to all our brothers and sisters who have joined us in church this morning for worship of our triune God. A special welcome to all the visitors who have joined us this morning here in church, but also those who are with us remotely via the live stream. We pray that we may all, young and old, be encouraged and strengthened by the preaching of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. May we all, as God's covenant children, be edified, and may God be glorified by our worship today, also as we remember the great day of Reformation. Consistory has the following announcements. The congregation is hereby informed that Brother Rahul Vyas and Sister Rosalie van der Laan from the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott have indicated their intention to enter into the marriage state, according to the ordinance of God. A desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday, the 20th of November at 12 noon in the Free Reformed Church of Mount Missouri with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. The following young brothers and sisters have requested to publicly profess their faith and so receive admission to the Lord's Supper. Joel Boone, Marissa Desnew, Nikki Hall, Thomas Hochedijk, Rowan Sibham, Julian Spiker, Hayley Wagoner, and Abby Wilstrup. Consistory, having considered and examined their motives as well as the knowledge of Scripture and the confessions, resolve with thankfulness to the Lord to grant these requests. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the profession of faith will take place the morning service of Sunday the 21st of November in Lumen Christi College in Gosnells. This morning we may welcome to the pulpit Reverend Eichelbaum of the Free Reformed Church of Byford, while in the afternoon we welcome Reverend Pott from the Free Reformed Church of Bunbury. Before we commence, let us sing together Psalm 107 verse 1.
Brothers and sisters, will you please rise to receive the greeting of the Lord? Let's first confess together. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And he greets us. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's worship God by singing together Psalm 84, verses 1, 4, and 5. Thank you. We now listen together to the 10 words of God's covenant law. We read the law this morning from Exodus chapter 20, where God spoke all these words: I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbour's. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is completed. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's now sing together in response to God's law, Psalm 27, verse 1. Let's pray together. In our prayer, we bring two matters before God. We remember the Darren and Minka Brower family. Early last week, Minka's grandfather, Brother Bill Grunewald in Fairhaven, died peacefully. And we also remember the Spiker family. Last Friday, the family of Brother and Sister Spiker in Holland buried one of their brothers-in-law. We remember the Spiker family as well. Let's pray. Merciful God, gracious Father in heaven, on the morning of this new day, we come into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter your courts with praise. To confess, Father, that you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. Every Sunday, we can be here to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead on that first Sunday morning, that Easter Sunday. Today, we also remember the Reformation, the great Reformation of the 16th century, which happened on the 31st of October so many years ago. Then you came to your people who were lost in a maze of false teachings and strange superstitions. And you opened the eyes of your people, giving them new life and new hope, feeding them the gospel of salvation from sin through the blood and the spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And we thank you, Father, for guiding your churches during the past 500 years since the time of the Reformation. We thank you that we together may be a reformed church, so that today, together with so many other churches of the Reformation, we may confess that your steadfast love does endure forever and your faithfulness has no limits. All generations you will bless in your unchanging faithfulness. And as we remember your faithfulness, Father, we become aware of our own unfaithfulness. You love us so much that you give us everything that we need for life, food and drink, and every material blessing. You give us friends and families, people who love us and care for us. You also put us together in a church community where we can receive so much support in every way. Every day again, you speak to us in your word. You urge us to give up problems to you. You promise to show us the way forward through your word. Father, we pray that you care for us, especially in challenging circumstances. We thank you that early last week you called Brother Bill Grunewald home to yourself. We thank you that Brother Grunewald was always your child, and we may be confident that the saving work of your Son on the cross extends to Brother Grunewald as well. Father, we also remember before you the Spiker family. Last Friday, their family in Holland had to bury a brother-in-law of our own brother and sister Spiker. We pray that you also give comfort to the Spikers. Lord, we are reminded that even when we are old, even if we would come to the point where we cannot remember things and we even forget you, Lord, you never forget us, because you are a faithful God. And so we pray, be with the extended Grunewald family and the extended Spiker family. Lord, will you comfort them with the promises of the gospel? And now, work in our hearts by the preaching this morning. Strengthen our faith. We pray for the little ones in the creche and for those adults caring for them. Give them a good hour together. We also pray for mums, especially who have little children in church. It can be challenging, Father, especially if our children do not behave perfectly and if other people sitting near us express disapproval. Give us all the grace that we need, that we may grow together in our love for you and our service of you. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's read together from the Gospel of Matthew. We read Matthew 12. We read from verse 1 to verse 8. In our text for this morning, from John 5, the Lord Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about his work, especially on the Sabbath day. So for context, we read Matthew 12. The word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." We now go to the Gospel of John. We read John 5 from verse 1. John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but
But he was even calling God his own Father and making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will be shown him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Before we listen to the preaching of the gospel, let's sing together Psalm 25, verse 6. The text for the preaching is verse 19 of John 5. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." We now listen to the preaching of the gospel, and afterwards we sing Psalm 62, verses 1, 3, 4, and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, do you know what a relic is? Of course, the word relic means literally something old, something left over from a bygone era. That's why sometimes an old person with old-fashioned views is called a dinosaur or a relic. Now, in the time of the Reformation, some churches were filled with relics, a piece of wood which supposedly came from the cross of Jesus, a tooth which supposedly belonged to one of the disciples, a piece of cloth which supposedly came from the tomb in which Jesus was buried. In the time before the Reformation, people would worship these relics by praying over them or even kissing them. But as the Reformation continued, people who were not Roman Catholic, they would storm into the churches and they would destroy hundreds of these relics. They spat on those relics. They threw them out of the churches. That's how it went in the time of the Reformation. Some things, some people really treasured, while other people loathed them and ultimately destroyed them. Now in our text for this morning, Jesus has a conversation with some Jews, especially leaders of the Jews, Pharisees, teachers of the law. Now according to these Jews, the temple was holy, the law was holy, and the Sabbath day was especially holy. For these Jews, the Sabbath day was holy. So, when the Lord Jesus heals a paralytic on the Sabbath day, some of these Jews are deeply offended. They're hurt. They say, Jesus, you are desecrating the Sabbath day. You are desecrating something that God gave to us, something that was precious to us. This upsets us. And the Lord Jesus, he knows what God commanded Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so we wonder, why does the Lord Jesus heal that paralytic on the Sabbath day? Why does the Lord seemingly break the commandment in this way? Why does Jesus offend these Jews? Actually, brothers and sisters, Jesus himself answers this question in two parts. In Matthew 12, verse 5, the Lord said, the priest who comes into the temple on the Sabbath day and who offers sacrifices on the Sabbath day, the priest profanes. He desecrates the Sabbath day. But still, he is guiltless. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus says that priests, they profane the Sabbath day. You know, your minister, Reverend Poppy, he also works on the Sabbath day. He also desecrates the Sabbath day every week. Jesus says in Matthew 12, the priests do, ministers do, I can do it too. But in our text for this morning, the Lord Jesus goes a step further. The Lord Jesus says, I work on the Sabbath day, and this bothers you. I know that it bothers you. It will continue to bother you unless you believe that I am the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus says, what I do on the Sabbath day, and what I do every other day of the week as well, what I do will confuse you. It will frustrate you unless you believe that I am the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. I preach to you this morning the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. Jesus claims the right to do what no ordinary man may do because he is the Son of God. And then we pay attention to two points. Because Jesus is God, Jesus is always working. And secondly, because Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus must always follow God's example. So first, because Jesus is God, Jesus is always working. If you have a look in verse 16, there you read, this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. It's striking. It was not as if Jesus once healed a man on the Sabbath day And the Jews immediately got all upset. Instead, Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath day. These things. Things of this nature. Things like healing people. And it happened once. It happened a second time and maybe even a third time or a fourth time. And then after a while, those Jews, they began to see a trend, a pattern of behaviour, where Jesus was doing stuff on the Sabbath day that the Jews thought was wrong. And now, in our text, they have come to the point where they say, enough already, Jesus, this has to stop. So there is this confrontation. And our brothers and sisters, have you ever asked yourself whether you have a problem with what Jesus did on the Lord's Day? Have you ever considered the possibility that Jesus did stuff on the Sabbath day that should not be done on the Sabbath day? And as background, consider, when we talk about working on Sunday, don't we distinguish between necessary work and unnecessary work? Don't we say doctors, nurses, policemen, and farmers, especially farmers with milking cows? Don't we say some of these people, they've got work that needs to be done even on Sunday, so they can do it on Sunday? Don't we live by the rule in general? Doctors and nurses and policemen and farmers should not work on Sundays, but they should only do what's really necessary and in the case of an emergency. And if that's true, go back with me to our text for this morning and consider, when Jesus heals this paralytic sitting beside a pool, does Jesus do this because it is an emergency? Well, let's go to Gosnells Hospital. Let's imagine this paralytic coming on Sunday morning to the emergency department. See him standing at the desk, explaining his problem to the nurse. Of course, he cannot walk very well. Maybe he's sitting in a wheelchair. And then the triage nurse says to him, "So, mister, this is an emergency?" "Yes, nurse, indeed. A serious emergency." "So, mister, how long have you had this condition?" "Actually, since 1983. That makes it 38 years. "I beg your pardon? You have been sick for 38 years? And now today, this is suddenly an emergency that cannot wait until Monday? I don't understand." Brothers and sisters, let's be honest. If this is an emergency that cannot wait until Monday, then truly we can do anything we like on Sunday, and we can call anything an emergency. As clearly as the nose on your face, this is absolutely no emergency. And now, if we go back to our Bibles, and if we read what Jesus actually said to the Jews, then we notice when the Jews challenged Jesus because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath day, Jesus does not say what we would say. Jesus does not say, "This is one of those times when I just had to break the rules." Not at all. Jesus does not say that. Instead, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Jesus says, God in heaven is my Father. And he is always working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so, because he is my Father, I will work 7 days a week as well. And this means God's commandment about resting on the Sabbath day, that commandment, of course, does not apply to God himself. No, God is always working, even on the Sabbath day. And besides, the command to not work on the Sabbath day, that command does not apply to Jesus either. Jesus says clearly, for you Israelites, for you the rule is that you may work 6 days, but you must rest on the Sabbath day. But my Father in heaven is working 7 days a week, and because he is my Father, and because I am his Son, I must always work, just like my Father does. And so the bottom line, you keep on remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, says Jesus. But I will not. You remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because you are the people of God. But I will work 7 days a week because I am the God of my people. And now we need to step back for a moment, brothers and sisters, and consider the big picture. As a rule, when we talk about our Christian life, we often use Jesus as an example. We say this is how Jesus lived, and we must follow his example. Paul writes in Philippians 2 that our attitude ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And Paul writes somewhere else, imitate me, just like I imitate Christ. And so, many Christians, when they have to make choices, they ask themselves, what would Jesus do? And then, what Jesus would have done, that becomes the standard for our behaviour. And in general, that's fine. Except, our text reminds us that we cannot do everything that Jesus did. Indeed, we may not do everything that Jesus did, because Jesus is God. God is the rule maker, and Jesus is God. Besides, Jesus is our Saviour, while we are being saved. And so, in some ways, Jesus must always be different from us. And we need to remember that and respect that. And now, we can begin to understand that our Sunday, our weekly day of rest, it can be even more of a blessing for us than it already was. Because we understand from our text, we should not work on the Sabbath day. Rather, we ought to rest. But where does our rest come from? How come we can rest on the Sabbath day? Don't you understand, says Jesus, don't you understand that you can rest on the Sabbath day because God is working all the time? Don't you understand that you can rest, you can relax, you can put your problems aside? Because God is constantly caring for you, always providing for you and protecting you. Every Sunday, you can put your worries about your mortgage and your credit card aside. Every Sunday, you can forget all those pressures of life. You can rest because God is caring for you 24/7. And, says Jesus, while my Father in heaven is working, looking after your paycheck, and putting bread on your table. That's what the Father does. Jesus now tells us, while my Father is working, caring for you every day of the week, I am also busy all the time, working to save you from your sins and working to give you eternal life, working to take away all the burdens that come to you from your fall into sin. Jesus says, my project of giving you eternal life is my full-time job. And so, brothers and sisters, it really is not a coincidence that Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. It really is not a coincidence that Jesus takes a sick man and heals him on the day when the Israelites are resting. Because in this way, Jesus connects his work to our rest. Jesus says, because I am working, you can rest. Your Sabbath rest and your Sabbath joy is not possible because you work so hard on the other 6 days of the week. Instead, your Sabbath rest and your Sabbath joy is possible because of my work. And this is why, even today, even on this Sunday, Jesus comes to us and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, because I am not resting. I am not relaxing. I am not waiting until tomorrow to care for you. No. Come to me anytime, because I am working all the time and I will give you rest. This is what our Sunday is all about. If I would tell you that you must be in church on Sunday, and if I would say you may not work on Sunday, then you might answer that my rules are legalistic. You might accuse me of speaking like a Pharisee. This is indeed the legalistic way that the Pharisees argued. For the Pharisees, resting on the Sabbath day was a matter of works righteousness, a way to earn salvation. And so, when Jesus answers in our text, Jesus does not say, relax the rules, because it's okay to work on Sunday. Instead, Jesus says, my dear children, when you put your work aside on Sunday, when you come to church to worship me, then you are living by my grace. Then you are trusting that God is working and therefore you can rest. Then you are opening your heart to God and to his grace. When God comes to us with his command to rest from our work on the Sunday, we are reminded of what it means to be born again. We cannot rely on ourselves, our own works, our own efforts. Instead, like helpless newborn babes, we depend totally on the grace of God. He gives, we receive. He works, we rest. He is our God, and we are his people. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now consider the Lord's claim that because he is the Son of God, he must always follow God's example. In verse 17, Jesus explained that he must work on the Sabbath day, obviously, because his Father is always working as well. That was about working on the Sunday. But in verse 19, the Lord explains that he imitates his Father in many ways. Working on the Sabbath day is only one of many ways in which he imitates his Father. The bottom line, Jesus has a rule, a pattern in his life, and that is, Jesus can do nothing of his own accord. Jesus can only do what he sees the Father doing. Jesus never makes a move by himself. No, Jesus is always watching his Father, seeing what his Father does, and then Jesus always follows his Father's example. And now again, we need to think carefully, brothers and sisters. Jesus is God. And that means Jesus is equal to the Father in every respect. God the Father is almighty. Well, then God the Son is almighty as well. God the Father is infinite and eternal. Well, then Jesus is infinite and eternal as well. But now, when Jesus says in verse 19 that Jesus can do nothing of his own accord, instead he can only do what he sees the Father doing, it sounds as if Jesus is not as mighty as his Father. God the Father can do anything, but God the Son can do only what he sees his Father doing. That sounds as if God the Father has got infinite options, but God the Son does not. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. And this brings us precisely to the gospel, brothers and sisters. A person like you or like me, at the beginning of John 5, we might come to the pool of Bethesda on a Sabbath day, and we might see that man who was paralyzed lying there, and we might react in different ways. You might say, oh, that poor man, he has been a paralytic for 38 years. How horrible. I must help him right now. Even if it is Sunday, I don't care. That might be him. But another person might say, I feel sorry for this man, and I really want to help him, but today it is Sunday, and because he has been here for 38 years already, if he waits for an extra day, that's okay. I'll come back and help him tomorrow. Different people, different personalities, different upbringing, different choices. And then, who would insist that one of these options is right and the other is wrong? But now the gospel in the text. The Lord Jesus says, for me, there is no choice. For me, there are no options. The decision that I make is not arbitrary. I don't do anything on a whim. Instead, the Lord says, when I was still in heaven, before Christmas Day already, I watched my Father pour out his love on his people. In the time of Abraham and Moses and David and Hezekiah, I was in heaven and I watched. I saw my Father care for so many people who had special needs. I saw him. And so, when I came to the pool of Bethesda, and when I saw that invalid lying there, what could I do? What could I do? Could I look the other way and leave him in his broken condition? Could I say, tomorrow I will heal him? Jesus says, no way. Jesus says, I could not do that. No, I could not do that because my Father in heaven has taught me a different way to live. I could not do that because my Father in heaven taught me to always love, to always care, to always heal, to always restore life. Jesus says, I am just like my Father, and so I must always do what I saw my Father doing. I must always follow the example that my Father gave me, because I am just like him. So I cannot do anything else. The Son of God, he says in our text, he says, I cannot do anything of my own accord. Instead, I can only do what I saw my Father doing. After all, I am just like my Father. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is God, and Jesus does what God does. This is the reason why Jesus had to heal the invalid on that Sabbath day. And now, if Jesus heals on the Sabbath day because Jesus can do nothing by himself, instead Jesus can only do what he sees the Father doing. Brothers and sisters, this rule, this explains everything that Jesus did when he was on earth. Already in John 1, at the beginning of the Gospel, John said that no one has ever seen God, but the Son of God has made God known. This is the reason why Jesus came to earth, to show us God, to show us the grace, the truth, the love, the holiness of God. Now, could Jesus make God known if Jesus would be different from the Father? Of course not. Could Jesus make God known if Jesus would take it easy on the Sabbath day? If Jesus would sit back to receive the grace of God on the Sabbath day? No. Jesus is God. Jesus wants to reveal God. And so Jesus reveals himself as the infinite worker, the ultimate giver. Could Jesus make God known if Jesus did not care about prostitutes and tax collectors? If Jesus did not care for people who were blind and for paralytics and for people who were dying? No, beloved congregation, Jesus did not come down from heaven and over time develop a personality that was inclined to care for people and that tended towards being patient and kind. And it was not a personal weakness of Jesus that he wept when Lazarus died. Instead, Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus always did what God does. And so Jesus showed us what God is like. And so Jesus teaches us that it would be horribly wrong to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, as if the God of the Old Testament is somehow less than the God of the New Testament. As if Jesus is somehow more kind or more loving or more gracious or more forgiving than the God of the Old Testament. Instead, long ago, Jesus was in heaven. He saw his Father destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus also saw what his Father did to the Egyptians in the time of Moses. Jesus saw his Father do it all. And then when Jesus came down from heaven, when he ate with tax collectors and sinners, and when he told the parable of the good shepherd and the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus did nothing by himself. Instead, all the time, and in every circumstance, Jesus did what he saw his Father doing. Whatever the Father did, even in the Old Testament, the Son does also. Because God is one. And the Son of God, who came down from heaven on Christmas Day, he came to do what his Father does. He came to show the world who God is. Jesus is God, and Jesus shows us who God is. That is the glorious message of our text. Brothers and sisters, what the Lord Jesus says in our text, can we understand it perfectly? Jesus was a true human being, and therefore Jesus had to obey God's law. Jesus was under the law. But in our text, when Jesus is challenged with respect to the fourth commandment, should Jesus really be working on the Sabbath day, then Jesus does not argue the way that we might argue. Jesus does not suggest that healing the invalid by the pool of Bethesda was an emergency that could not wait until tomorrow. Instead, Jesus says, children of God, you should not work on the Sabbath day. Instead, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But I must work, always, just like my Father also works, always. God is always working so that we can rest. God is always providing so that we don't have to worry. Indeed, it is because God is always working that we are safe and we can celebrate his gift of salvation. And so we honour God when we don't work on Sundays, but we worship him instead. Then God gives and we receive. God works and we rest. In our second point, we saw what it means that the Son of God can do nothing by himself. Instead, he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus does what God does. So, when we know Jesus, we know God. To this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory today and forevermore. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's several other matters we want to bring before God in our congregational prayer this morning. We will pray for our people in PNG. One of the students at our college passed away from COVID this week. And Reverend Fastra, who is teaching at the college, and especially his wife, are both sick from COVID. We also pray for Sister Jenny Zodisma, who celebrated her 92nd birthday this past week. And we thank the Lord that Sister Jane Seegers could come home from hospital on Friday. We'll ask the Lord to continue to bless her treatment. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the awesome promise of salvation from sin through the blood and the spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your Son into the world to satisfy your wrath, and also because through him you could reveal yourself to us. Through him you demonstrate your grace, your steadfast love, and your willingness to forgive our sins and to lead us to eternal life. And we thank you for our weekly day of rest. Every Sunday again we can worship you. We can look forward to the day when we may enter your eternal rest. We may rest and we may receive your salvation, even earning nothing by ourselves. But we may receive your grace because you are always busy caring for us. You are always providing for all our needs. And this knowledge, Father, gives us great encouragement as we bring our needs before you this morning. Lord, we have times in our lives when things look to be under control. When we manage fine, then we hardly notice that we need you. But Father, there are times when things become difficult and suddenly we realise how helpless we are and how much we depend on you. So we pray this morning for the Seegers family, for Hilco and Jane. We thank you that Jane could come home from hospital on Friday because some matters that needed urgent attention have been dealt with. But Father, we know that there's still a long and difficult road ahead. So we pray that you bless the doctors as they make decisions concerning further treatment for our sister's cancer. Bless that work of the doctors, Father. Give to Hilco and Jane and also to their family what they need to trust you in this difficult time. Give courage, Father, and fill their hearts with peace. Peace that we receive only from knowing you. Father, we thank you for blessing the recent surgery of our sister Liz van der Linden. We thank you for the work that the doctors could do. We thank you that indeed Sister van der Linden can be in church with us again this morning, that she can worship you together with us and with the family. Father, because we have an excellent medical system, and because surgery is so often successful, we can easily take it for granted. But we confess that you have our lives in your hand, and nothing ever succeeds, not the work of the doctors either, without your blessing. So we direct all our thanks and all our praise to you. We pray for our sister Mahoney, who is recuperating after her fall. Continue to restore her health. And then we also pray for Sister Jenny Zodisma, who could celebrate another birthday this past week. We praise you for the care that you continue to give to our sister day by day. And we pray, watch over her, continue to provide for all her needs. Father, we pray for the work that's done at the Seaforth Gardens Nursing Home. by some of us this afternoon again. We thank you for the gospel that we have. We also thank you for energy to reach out to others. And we pray, Father, that you open the hearts of people who do not know you. Open their hearts so that the gospel may penetrate, that there may be faith and salvation. We also thank you for the wonderful knowledge that we have, that when we are busy with evangelism or with mission work in PNG, we are busy with the project for which your Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world on Christmas Day. Because just like he came into the world to reveal you to your people, so that your people might believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved, so our missionaries in PNG are proclaiming that same gospel. Now we pray, be gracious to our people in PNG, Father. Bless Reverend Farstra and his wife. Restore their health. Bless the whole college community. Bless also our missionaries in Lae. Protect them all from COVID. Protect them from every danger that threatens them. Father, we pray for those who mourn, also in PNG. We pray that you be a mighty fortress to them, a bulwark never failing. Bless us in all that we do, with all that we have. We pray for those who are elderly. We pray for those who struggle to adjust to new and challenging situations. Lord, you are good and gracious. You are infinite in patience, in long suffering, in mercy. Will you surround all of our people with your care and your grace? Now bless us in all that we do throughout this day. Grant that we may trust you wholeheartedly and unconditionally and live as your children in the obedience that comes from faith. Give us a good day and bring us back here again this afternoon. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you now have an opportunity to serve the Lord with your thank offering. The collection this morning is for the work of mission in PNG. And afterwards, our closing song will be hymn 53. Not hymn 5, like it says on the board, but hymn 53. The hymn of the Reformation, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Hymn 53, verses 1, 2, 3 and 4 after the collection.
Brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.